I'm going to be reading from 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 14 through 16. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Let's pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask, O Lord, that in the same way that you sent your Son and sent your Holy Spirit and sent your church, and you have sent Josiah here, we pray, O God, that your Spirit would be upon him, that it would move mightily in the midst of this place, that you would use it, Lord, to transfigure and to bring this world to the point of glorification. We ask these things in your glorious name, and the name of your Son, and the name of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, tonight, the first thing that I would like to do is recognize and thank Pastor Dan, because he's the founding pastor of this church, and he has ministered here for 38 years. And I think you have to sort of be in the ministry to understand what kind of an accomplishment that actually is. That, my brother, we are eternally grateful for God's work in your life and in your ministry here at this church. And I think that that's the general consensus of everyone here. So thank you, brother. So we look back with gratefulness at the ministry of Pastor Dan here, and now we look forward with anticipation for the ministry of Josiah Katumu. I had the privilege of performing the wedding ceremony of Josiah and Kiana, and now I have the privilege of presiding over the installation of Josiah into this church, arguably two of the most important days in your life, brother. You know, for most of church history, those two things, marriage and ordination, and this is an installation which I take to be an extension of ordination, those two things were considered so important that the early church, from after early apostolic times up until the Protestant Reformation, they considered those two things sacraments of the church. Now, we, as those who are Presbyterian and those who are part of the Protestant Reformation, rightly recognize that there are only two sacraments in the church, namely baptism and the Lord's Supper. And I believe that that's the correct and right view, because those two sacraments are instituted by Christ and are signs and seals of the covenant of grace. But I think you would probably agree, and I think the reformers would agree, that the low state of our view of both marriage and of ordination and installation, I think they would mourn the low view that we presently have, both in the church and in the world. And so I want to exhort us to have a high view of what we are doing here tonight. That this is not just a meaningless ceremony, that this is something in which the Spirit of Almighty God, the Holy Spirit of God, is involved in, and that this actually does something. You know, there's two views in the church, basically, today. One is that when you do a ceremony, when you do an ordinance of the church, or when you perform a sacrament, that does everything. The other view of the church is that it does nothing. I would like to propose a third alternative, that this actually does something. I don't know what it does, but it does something. And I believe that it's going to do something to Josiah. Josiah is an ordained man. When Paul was talking to Timothy and writing to Timothy, he was writing to Timothy as an already ordained man. And his emphasis falls on this exhortation. Don't neglect, do not. That negative, that not, is in the front of the sentence. Paul moves the negative to the front of the sentence to put emphasis on it. Don't neglect the gift that is in you, that you possess. And he's speaking to him as an ordained man that's already had hands laid on him. Right? Don't neglect this gift. Now, the word there for gift is a word that I think could have been translated better than what it is in the English Standard Version. It is the word for spiritual gift, the charismatos. We get our word charismatic from it. And believe me, those of us of the Reformed faith would do well to recover some of this charismatic gifting. I'm a cessationist, but my God, do we need the Holy Spirit. The Spirit has been called the neglected person of the Trinity, the forgotten person of the Trinity. And I'm all about recovering the Holy Spirit, the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And this is a gift that was imparted to you, my brother. You have this gift through the laying on of hands. You know, we live in an age of technique and technology, of an age that values ingenuity and innovation. We live in an age of professionalism. We live in an age that values things like material success, and we look for pastors to be successful and to lead their church to successful ministries, and I hope that happens. But whatever you do, however successful you are, if it's not by the power and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it is for nothing. It is better to fail in the Spirit than to succeed without Him. I would rather you fail in the Spirit than be successful without Him. You have received the gift of the Holy Spirit to this ministry. And so it's a charismatic thing that we do here. This is a charismatic gift. The second thing that I want to show you is the relationship, the close relationship in verse 14 between the receiving of this gift and the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Those two things are closely related here in verse 14. And I think that's important because not only are we seeing that this is a gift of the Spirit, but the idea of the presbytery being mentioned in the same sentence, almost in the same phrase, shows us that this is something that happens within the context of communion and community. And so the idea of presbytery, these are the representatives of the church. Right? This is communion. And an ordained man, and this is what I think happens, right? This is the idea that you are now making a transformation. When you're ordained, you are making a transformation from being an individual to being a relational being. Your whole identity now is not with self. And while you've been ordained and now you're being installed and you were installed before in this same place, but there's something deeper. You're going deeper into this community. And believe me, anybody who has made this transition before knows that this is something different going on here. This is a big deal. Going from associate, going to senior pastor is a big deal. And if you haven't experienced before, you have no idea, but it's a big deal. You are going deeper into this community. You are part of this communion in a deeper and more profound way, in a more existential way. And so your whole identity now is as a relational being, as someone that is part of the community. And I say that in an ontological and Trinitarian way, in the same way that the first reality of the universe, right? The first reality before there was a universe is community, not individual, right? The first reality is the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The first reality is communion. So before there was ever an individual, there was first communion. And the church, the body of Christ, with the Holy Spirit constituting this ecclesial body, right? This is a communion. In other words, the church is not just the sum total of the number of people in it. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And you are now placed into this community, and your identity is communion, not individual. That's why the greatest sin of a pastor is individualism and isolation. And when things get bad, you see pastors start to retreat, start to pull away, start to go away. This is the opposite of ordination. Ordination installs you into this community, right? This place, and isolation is the opposite of ordination. And so now your whole identity is wrapped up in communion, in community. Second thing that I wanted to see is that this gift is given when the presbytery laid their hands on you. And the laying on of hands in the Old Testament is what was done, what the priest did to the sacrifice before it was offered. Right? So this is a kind of death. It's death by holy orders, which is what used to be the name for ordination and installation. It was called holy orders. And by the way, I prefer holy orders to ordination and installation. Right? Plumbers install things. The cable man installs things. Right? This is something different going on here. These are holy orders. And this is a kind of death. Right? It's a death to individualism. It's a death to isolationism. It's a death to self. And it's living now for the community of God's people, both here and abroad. And you can do so only by the enablement and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so, brother, we commend you to this ministry, and we pray for the church here in this place. And that's what ordination is. It's a call to a place. Installation is a call to a particular place. Your identity now is with a place. And we pray that in this place, the Spirit of God would move and work and form and shape the people of God here for His glory and for the good of His people. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come and move. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. We pray that you would give this life, life to this body, life to this community, life to this state and to this world, that you would use Josiah and this church in such a mighty and powerful way, Lord, that you would transfigure this place and bring about the glorification of this world. We ask this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.